Please join me in turning to Exodus chapter 20. Once again, we'll be looking at verses 8 through 11 this morning. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Amen. So we come now to the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments. This commandment has historically been subject to the most varied of interpretations of all the Ten Commandments, and so there's certain difficulties that attend it. But hopefully, as we look at this, we can keep the main thing, and understand what our God has intended in this commandment. And I want to start with something very obvious and important to note about this commandment, and that is, it comes in the list of the Ten Commandments. It is one of the Ten Commandments. And therefore, it ought to be approached with the same level of importance and reverence as the other commandments are. These Ten Commandments are the very summary of the law of God and a reflection of the righteous character of God. Every commandment is important. And so let's look at the shorter catechism in questions 58 and question 60. It describes what's required in the fourth commandment and how we sanctify or how we hallow the Sabbath. It says, what is required in the fourth commandment? "The fourth commandment requireth the keeping holy to God such set times as he hath appointed in his word expressly one whole day in seven to be a holy Sabbath to himself." And then it's question 60, how is the Sabbath to be sanctified? "The Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship, except so much as is to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy." So there's no way that we can discuss all of the potential questions or controversies relating to the fourth commandment here. And our tendency to become lawyers is particularly acute when it comes to the fourth commandment, so we have to be careful in that regard. We should not get bound up in the can I or can't I do X, Y, or Z discussions at this point. But I really think we as a people need to think differently about this commandment. In general, we tend towards a negative perspective on the Sabbath. In other words, we tend to sometimes see the Sabbath as something that cramps our freedom rather than as a gift and as a blessing from God. Sometimes we think of the Sabbath as almost a forced rest, or it can maybe even feel like that for some of us. Now, have you ever gotten stuck on the highway somewhere and you're just stuck for an hour? There's no movement, you can't even see, there's miles of cars, there's trees, maybe it's in the mountains, that's usually when I think of it, and that's the most frustrating, when you're stuck up in the mountains and you're not getting anywhere, you have no idea how long you're going to be there. I remember one time I was heading up to Steamboat Springs, and if any of you have been up to Steamboat Springs, the obvious route from Denver to there requires that you go on one of these single lane highways after you leave Silverthorne. And I've actually been stuck on that highway twice now. There's something about that highway. But during that trip, I was stuck between Silverthorne and Kremlin trying to get to Steamboat Springs for about an hour. Cars just stopped. And you know what happens then, right? So first 10 minutes, everybody's got their cars running. They're just waiting. They're looking. Everybody's got their brake lights on. And then about 20 minutes passes, and a couple cars turn off. And then after about 30 minutes, people get the idea. All the cars turn off. And now they're getting out, and they're stretching their legs and commiserating together about their situation. It's amazing how quickly people make friends in those sorts of situations. But what happened in that situation? How did you feel in that situation? Well, you felt like your freedom had been taken away from you. You had an imposed rest pressed upon you. Effectively, you had a short Sabbath pressed upon you by the Colorado Department of Transportation, and you were not happy about it. Perhaps some of our thinking about the Fourth Commandment approaches this sometimes. Perhaps we see it as something that cramps our freedom to move about and to do certain things. But if you look at the Scriptures, we see a very different perspective on the Sabbath and on the Lord's Day. We see a gift from God as a day that is given for a liberated and a freed people. And we remember that the Ten Commandments are designed to provide us the maximum amount of freedom within the bounds of God's order. And as James says, it's the law of liberty. That includes the Fourth Commandment. And if you go through the Old Testament and you look for all the examples of Sabbaths, i.e. things that are set in series of sevens, and you see a number of things. Every 7 years, slaves were to be set free. It was freedom. Every 49 years, based on the sevens pattern, the year of Jubilee was proclaimed. And even more freedom resulted. The land was even to rest every 7 years, and this was a blessing for the land to be able to have the cessation of activity to restore. And so we as human creatures also need this rest in this time of dedication to worship. We need it. And if we knew it was best for ourselves, we'd desire it too. Sometimes you may have heard this phrase, God gave you 6 days, therefore it isn't much for God to ask for one. Okay, there's some truth to that, but I think there's a better way to put that. This suggests that there's one day that you have to give up to God and the rest are not to him somehow, so that's the first problem with the statement. But the other problem is really that it's not that God took away one day from you and you got six. No, the fact of the matter is you got seven, right? No days have been taken away from you. Rather, you've been given 7 days by the Lord, and he's given you one in particular that is a gift and a blessing in a way that the other days are not. That, I think, is the better way to put it. And certainly sometimes the Lord's Day does come with certain difficulties. Sometimes it's not as restful as it ought to be, and we can be frustrated in that. But as the Spirit works in us, as we're increasingly conformed to the image of Christ, this is a day that we are going to love and to desire and to wait with expectation for. So back to the main point, how do we keep the Fourth Commandment? Well, as I see it from Scripture, the main point of the Fourth Commandment is two things. It's, first of all, rest for God's people and worship. Rest and worship. So let's look at both of those. Leviticus 23, verse 3 in the Old Testament shows us that the Sabbath of the Old Testament was both of these things. It was both for worship and for rest. Verse 3 of chapter 23, it says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. A holy convocation, you shall do no work therein, it is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So not only were the people to rest, but they were to convocate, to gather for the public assembly of God's worship. And we see the same pattern in the New Testament in Acts 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week, they came together to worship and to fellowship together. And along with worship, there is to be a physical resting, a physical ceasing from labor. And in both of these ways, both of these things are a gift to us. We need that worship, and we need that rest. If you look at Deuteronomy 5, verse 15, you see how freedom is connected to this Sabbath. It says, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand, by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. This is what we see. We have been redeemed. We have been freed. And now we have this gift of the Lord's Day to enjoy each week. So brothers and sisters, we must see this day in a different light. We must see it as a blessing, as a privilege that we get to enter into. And the Scriptures are filled with promises about keeping of God's commandments, but also the Fourth Commandment as well. And I'll leave you with this promise from God in Isaiah 58 as he speaks about the blessings of keeping this commandment. Isaiah 58. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, when we come to the fourth commandment, we come to one of your commands that we often misunderstand, and we sometimes reject it in favor of our own pleasures and our own interests. We don't value what you value. We so often value the things of the world so much more. We pray that you would forgive us, first of all, for misunderstanding and misapplying this command. And we pray that you would forgive us also for calling other things a delight and calling your Sabbath many other things rather than a delight and not taking a delight in you. And we know that you have the power to change our hearts and our minds to think differently and to act differently. And we pray that you would teach us to delight in this weekly rest and to delight in this weekly worship. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.